when they kicked in the door of this house, that where somebody had been firing from them from the roof, what they found was an entire extended Iraqi family, and they were celebrating a wedding. And for those of us who've been in Iraq, or at least in Baghdad, you know that any excuse they have is a good excuse to get on the roof and shoot their guns in the air. It's just a celebratory thing. We've all heard of celebratory fire being mistaken for hostile fire, and this is a textbook case of that. Old grandpa or whoever was on top of the roof cutting loose with his rifle because he was so happy that his daughter was getting married. Meanwhile, this 82nd patroller in his front yard gets ambushed from across the road, and they return fire in both directions. And just to be brief on this, they hit three people inside the wedding party. One of them was an adult man who was, you know, slightly wounded. Another young girl, maybe 10, was slightly wounded. But what really got me was there was another girl who was maybe 6 or 7, and she was dead. I was in the gunner's hatch of the Humvee. I didn't get out and go inside the house, but I looked through the doorway, and that was the first time that I'd ever seen a little 6-year-old girl dead, and not just, you know, died of, drowned in a swimming pool or something. She had been shot by a bunch of, you know, teenage American kids. But these things happen. This isn't, you know, people always say, yeah, well, that's war, and that is war, and that's especially this war. That wasn't what's interesting about this, because this happens every day. Little girls get killed by soldiers in Iraq every day, not because we want to, but just because it happens. What happened was the 82nd Patrol just sort of mounted up and they rode off. Like, they just got the hell out of there. It wasn't their zone, it was our zone. So they left it with us. It was our responsibility. Once again, we got stuck calling this stuff up. We called it up to our tactical operations center, which we called the TOC, and we told them what happened. And basically, they told us to continue mission. They said, Charlie Mike, and that's military jargon for continue mission. So we didn't want to be there anymore. We just hopped up in our Humvees and rode out. And we didn't even have a translator, you know, and we didn't speak Arabic. We couldn't even say sorry, you know. We just hopped in our vehicle and rode off. And that's the thing. It's so difficult to get up here and talk about these things for obvious reasons. But what's also difficult is that, like, right after this happened, we never talked about it again. We drove away, and we went back. We didn't even tell the other guys back at the post about this. This was just something that we shuffled it back in our minds, and we thought, well, these things happen. And we didn't really think about it too much, and it was just lost. It was just forgotten, and then the war, or the occupation, I should say, dragged on.
Now, right now, the security is pulling out someone who's screaming at the front. There are 3 or 4 red-shirted security people pulling out a man who's screaming.
Perfect timing. I'm going to yield the rest of my time to the other speakers. Thank you all.
Okay. All right. That was Clifton Hicks finishing up his testimony as part of the rules of engagement. And he's receiving a standing ovation from the hundreds of people that are in the room. And we are here at the National Labor College in Silver Spring, Maryland, Winter Soldier 2008. Again, the standing ovation is continuing.